Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Cedars in Lebanon. Today's episode is going to be such an amazing one, I promise you. The title is No Greater Love, as you've already seen. And the guest we have here is a very, I'm not going to go ahead of myself. I'm going to allow him to introduce himself. So sir, please can you honor us?
Hello everyone. My name is Michael, Iro Michael. I'm from Nigeria and I'm an engineering student. Yeah, I think that's all you should know about me for now.
That's not all you should know about him for now, I promise you. He's a man of prayer, a man of the word, a man of fire. Help me.
Calm down, please.
Calm down. Okay, but yeah, so yes, I promise you he's very...
It's the Holy Ghost that will help you, not me.
The Holy Ghost. He's very worded and very rooted and grounded, yes. And he's just like us, learning to walk with God. Learning to walk with God, yeah. So today's episode is No Greater Love. It's about the love of God, basically. Mr. Michael is going to be helping us with a couple of thoughts when it comes to God's love, okay? And I'm just very excited that you guys get to be a part of it. Okay, so now let's begin. God's love. Let's start basic. What is God's love? And what is the nature of God's love? And what makes it different from all the other kinds of loves that we've heard about, so many loves out there? So,
you know, you got me scared when you said that I'm worded because I'm not. I'm not. But the Holy Spirit would help us. Amen. Certainly.
Amen.
Yeah, so, love, God's love, yeah, it is something I believe we cannot fully grasp, yeah?
We cannot
fully grasp. Mm-hmm. But we can at least try to, you know, give it one or two definitions.
Yeah.
Yes. The Bible makes us understand that God is love.
Mm.
Yeah, so when we are talking about love, we are talking about God himself.
Yeah, that's true.
His love is so deep that Apostle Paul kind of gave somewhat like a paradox when he was talking about it. When he was praying for the church, he said, I pray that you would come to know what is mm-hmm. the depth, the breadth, the height, right, and the width of God's love.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And this love, he described it as a love that passes all knowledge.
Yeah.
So it was like, I pray that you come to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. And then when I read that scripture, a question I asked myself was, how can you know a love which passes all knowledge?
Right.
So we see a kind of, you know, a paradox there.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that simply implies that it is not just knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, experiencing the love. So
yeah.
The way we can know the love of God completely is to allow the Holy Spirit to, you know, teach us, because he's the one who spreads that love in our hearts. Yeah. Mm. And just to add, the nature of God's love
mm-hmm.
is like the love a father has for a son.
Mm,
or
yeah.
for his child.
Yeah,
the very first place in the Bible where love was mentioned, the description was a father's love. When he was talking to Abraham in mm-hmm. the book of Genesis, he said, take now thy son, the one whom you love.
Aye, that's true.
Yes. Yeah. So he was giving mm-hmm. a typology of his love for, mm-hmm. you know, for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And then he aligns it with that of Abraham for his son. Yeah. And so it's like the love, the kind of love a father has for his child. And for us to understand it perfectly, we need to understand God or know God as a father.
That's very well. That's true. Yes.
Yes. Because just to add a bit more, it says, which of you, you know, being evil, as evil as you are,
yeah,
you know, would give a scorpion to your child when he mm-hmm. asks for something good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he describes man as fallen, but then even in our fallen state, the love we have for, you know, our seed is not contaminated.
Yeah, oh my God. That's absolutely deep. When you talked about the love, right? The love of God and how it passes all understanding, or rather, how it surpasses all knowledge. That you know the love of God that surpasses all knowledge. So what I heard there was that it's, first of all, knowing that love is a journey. As you even said, it's an experience, right? Knowing that love is a journey. That means that the way I knew the love of God yesterday, it's possible that it's different from the way I know the love of God today.
Very true.
And I can actually increase in love. Now, I know that the love of God cannot, is his highest point of love he gives to us. So it can neither increase or decrease. But for us, is it okay or is it right for us to believe, you know, to believe that we can grow in love? The way I loved God yesterday, can it be different from the way I love him today? And, you know, even looking at the fact that you truly cannot love a person you do not come to know. And I know that we grow to know God each day, right? We grow to know him by his spirit, right? So in that light, would you say that it's right or it's okay? Or it's true that, you know, we can actually grow in love for him?
I would say yes. We can grow in love with God. You know, okay, let's shift a bit from the love of God. Let's say the love you have for a fellow human being. Let's say your partner. The extent to which, you know, you love the person at first sight, I think it grows, you know, with time passing. If it's really true love. Now, coming back to the love of God, I also believe it can grow. Because even Apostle Paul writing, he said that I may know you and, you know, the power of your resurrection for me to share in your suffering. So this man talking at that point had experienced God over years, over time. He had experienced God and has seen a lot. He has seen God's love in various dimensions. And you still see him mentioning that I may know you still. Like,
yes, oh my God.
So it means there are dimensions in, you know, coming to loving God. There are dimensions in loving God. I also believe, generally there are dimensions in God which we get to encounter as we journey more in him. So is his love, because love is his nature. I believe it's also one of the things that the 24 elders do around the throne. Have you ever asked yourself why they never get tired of worshiping? They just, you know, each time they remove their crown, they bow down and keep worshiping. I mean, that's because different dimensions of God are being revealed, and love is also, I mean, God is love. So you keep seeing the different levels. It keeps taking you. It's a step higher and all that. So I believe it's a journey. And there are levels to it.
I feel like I should take a break moment. So as you said, or rather, I don't want to have summarized what you said. Everything you said is very important. But yes, there are levels to loving God. So I think that's why it's very important to pray that prayer that we pray that the love of God may be revealed even more in our hearts today. And I actually think it's another daily prayer that the love of God will be revealed in our hearts today. And even as the love of God is being revealed in our hearts, you see some things begin to drop. As the love of God is being revealed in your heart every day, some things begin to drop. You begin to lose some things. It's just like you said, okay, let's say you're married. I think it's too far away, but let's say you're married and you like a certain food and the person that you're with doesn't like a certain food. I mean, in fact, a very close example is my mom really liked beans. Like, she loved beans. She loves beans so much. When she got married to my dad really does not care for beans. My daddy does not like beans. He really doesn't like beans. So for the first year that they were married, my mom didn't make beans. for the first full year of their marriage. Wow. My mom didn't make beans. She didn't eat beans. She didn't have beans or anything. So until she gave it to my brother, and then you know, my brother really loved beans. All of a sudden, I knew he got the love for beans, and she started making beans. In the same way, when you begin to reach a point where you grow in a knowledge or you begin to know this God, some things begin to drop, and you begin to pick up some things too. That's okay. Let's just say it brings us to the next point. Is it possible to, I mean, this one, the Bible even says this, but let's just ask, is it possible to love God and, you know, still have strife, hatred? Hi, that's deep, man. Is it possible to love the Lord and still have strife, hatred, jealousy, malice, anger?
Genuine love casts out everything you have just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, because Apostle Paul is my favorite apostle, so
yeah.
I'll keep referencing him unless you know there's need to. Yeah, so in the book of First Corinthians, chapter 13, he begins to say some things there. Yeah, I'll read. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Okay, emphasis on verse 4. Let me just go there. It says, love is patient.
Yeah.
Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Mm-hmm. Now, we see him mentioning, you know, things that love are and things that love aren't.
Yeah.
So in love, we shouldn't find anything evil. In genuine love, in God's kind of love, yeah, we shouldn't find anything evil. It says somewhere that I believe we are made perfect in obedience by, you know, loving God. I can't really place a hand on that scripture. So love, the God kind of love, is a perfect kind of love. No kind of evil is found in it. So when we genuinely say that we have the love of God, we are saying that all these vices, all these, you know, things that are not produced by the Spirit of God, shouldn't be found in us or in it, because this love is spread to us by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And anything that opposes the Spirit shouldn't be in love.
That's so true. Thank you so much. That was absolutely great. Thank you so much. So yes, everything that is not found in God should not be found in us as a result of his love.
True.
Which brings us to the next point. What should be our, because we have received of his love, right? What should be our response to this love? Not just to God that, you know, loves us, but even to, you know, to everyone else around us. What should be our response to this love? I know that this is something that many people, even me, God have mercy on me, but that is something that many of us know. So what should be the response of a person that God has loved? A person that, you know, has experienced the mercy of God's love. What should be the response of that person, both to God and to the people around them?
I believe I mean, with man, when you're in love with someone, the person could reject you, but with God it shouldn't be so. I said the person could reject you, please. Could, I'm not saying the person would reject you, but with God the response should always be positive. It should always be positive, because it is not enough just to know that God loves you. And he does. He so much loves you. It is not enough just knowing that.
Yes. So true.
Yeah, that God is love. Even the devil knows God is love. But now we have to take it a step further to accepting it. believing it and relying on that love.
Then, and only then,
would we see that love at work in our lives, at work in every situation we find ourselves in. There is a knowing, there is a believing and a relying on. And then there is a reciprocating, that is talking about you know, keeping to his commandments and all that.
Because
he says, if you love me, you keep my commandment.
Yes.
And even when he was talking to his disciples, where he said that greater love had no man than this, that he should lay his life for his friends. And then he goes on to say, and if you are my friends, you will keep my commandment. So what I'm trying to say is that there is a reciprocation of that love.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we do that? We do that by giving ourselves completely to God, to his commandments, to his precepts, to his ordinances, to everything he has commanded that we keep. There's this scripture I'm trying to get just to back up what I'm saying. I believe it's in 1 John chapter 4. Yes, but it says, and so we know and rely on the love of God, on the love God has for us. So we need to know, number one, the love God has for us, and we need to rely on it, you know, before we see it at work in our lives. So there is a knowing, there is also a believing, a relying on. That's on the part of, you know, God.
Yes. Yeah.
And then on the part of our fellow human beings, I mean, we are, the love of God in us is an extension of God himself. And so if we say that we have come to really know, believe and rely on God's love, we should see it extended from us even towards our fellow human beings. Because the Bible says that we are the Jesuses on earth. Apostle John, talking about love, says, if you see your neighbor in need, if you see your neighbor in need of something, and you just tell the person, God bless you, God will provide for you, you don't have love. If you if you cannot extend this love to your fellow human beings that you are seeing already, you can't claim to love someone you are not seeing. That was the summary of what Apostle John was talking about there. So the response, one, is, you know, to God, reciprocate. And then second, extend that love to our fellow human beings. Now, there are different ways to extend. It's not just, you know, when it comes to material things. It goes beyond that to even spreading the word about Christ to them. Yes, telling them about Christ is a way, is, you know, evangelism is a product, is a byproduct of love. The love you have for someone would push you to actually go out of your way to tell them about your love.
Mm-hmm.
He says, freely have you received, so give freely. That was Jesus to his disciples when he sent them out. And so if we have really come to understand and rely on God's love, we should also extend that to our environment.
Wow, that's absolutely true. So first of all, our response to God's love is accepting,
believing, knowing, believing, and relying on it. Yes.
And it even goes forward into obedience. It's very important because you cannot claim to love a God you don't obey. You can't claim to.
It's very true.
Obedience is a proof of love.
Very true. As a matter of fact, there are, you know, tests to really show that you love God. Yes, there are. And I classify this into four. I've had the privilege I've had the privilege to share on, you know, love. And then what the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart was four tests. It was more than four at the end of the day. Yes, but I'll just give them. God help me. The first test was the test of you know, you going after love. If you really say you love God, you have to go after God. Yes, that is the first test. And then the second one was you being obligated to that love. There are things you have to do for that love. Yes, there are things you have to do for that love. And then the third was, I believe, sacrifice. Sacrifice.
Wow.
Like I said earlier on, the very first place it was mentioned was, you know, showing us the love a father has for the child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then also in that same place, we see three things, actually. The love the father has for the son, we see obedience, and then we see sacrifice.
Mm.
So sacrifice is the highest level of love, is the highest test of love.
Mm.
Yeah. God is going to test your love by finding out what you can give, what you can leave out just for him. Just for him. There is something I call the point of no return. That is the point of sacrifice when it comes to loving God. At that point, there is nothing you cannot give. There is nothing you cannot leave out just because you love God. So I mentioned going after God, being obligated to God, sacrifice. Okay, the fourth is obedience. Yes, like I said, obedience. You can't say you love God and you're not obedient to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I think the extra two is there is reward in love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, there is reward
that's
in
so
love.
True.
And I think basically that is it.
Jesus. I don't feel like continuing. Oh my God, I'm sorry. Wow, that was I told you people. It's deeply worded. Deeply grounded. But as well. You mentioned about how God will test your love. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a very okay place to now insert the next thing. If a loving God will cause you pain. If a loving God will put you through pain. Because honestly, there are people who have left the faith. I know that yes, pain is in levels. So there are people who have actually fallen or have left or have, you know, abandoned that that relationship with God or that belief of God's love because of a situation. Something happened and you know it was painful and you they're just like, there's a God that claims to love me and he can do me this. Like, yeah. So would a loving father, actually not even a loving God, would a loving father put you through pain?
Thank God you mentioned would a loving father put you through pain. Now, would a father put you through pain? The answer is yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he would. Maybe to teach you a lesson, you know, maybe looking at a bigger picture, to achieve a greater good. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, it wasn't done for me, but I did it to others. Yeah. When I needed my younger ones to understand something I'm teaching them, most times I would need to apply other measures. You know, I would put it down out. I would need to apply other measures. Now, for a greater good, they might be seeing it as being, should I say, wicked, unquote.
Yeah.
But that was me extending that hand of love to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For them to, you know, for their own good. Mm-hmm. For their own good. Now, another question, another way I would put this is by asking, does God love Jesus? Did God love Jesus? Now, if our answer to that is yes, the next question is, did God put Jesus through pain?
Wow.
Yes. Why? Because of something greater. Something greater. You know, a lot of people, they like you mentioned, leave the faith, or they do not want to believe because they ask, if there was a God, why is there so much suffering in the world? And I really sympathize with, you know, people who have gone through heartbreaking moments in life, you know, hurting moments. Yeah.
Yeah.
But one way is not satisfying. One way to answer that question is looking at a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a lot of things are happening because God has something bigger, something better. He sees way ahead.
Yeah.
He's outside of time. True. He sees everything that happens. And so he knows. And so he makes sacrifices to, you know, or he allows some things to happen to achieve a greater good. I would put it that way. Jesus came and died. God had to give one person to, you know, introduce many to him. Yeah. And at the end, that one person still lived.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world that he gave.
He gave
Jesus. That many, through believing in the person he gave, would come to know him, would come to really accept him. Like those who believe would have everlasting life, eternal life. And I like using Jesus as, you know, a reference point, because he's our perfect example. You see God turning his back on him at Gethsemane. At Gethsemane, God didn't answer him.
Yeah.
Until he accepted to, you know,
drink
take
cup.
That cup. At the cross, before he gave up the ghost. At the cross, before he gave up the ghost, you hear Jesus making statements like, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that point, God had to, you know, allow him go through that process to, you know, achieve a greater good. Most times he does that to equip us more, to get us stronger, to make us stronger. Because he says, when you have passed through the fire, you will come out as fine gold. You know? So most times he allows us to pass through things for us to learn. At the end of the day, I want us to understand that everything that God does, he does from a standpoint of love. So at the end of the day, it is still for our own good.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it is still for our own good.
It's for our own good.
Yes.
I just remember that verse. I said, all things work together for good for them that love him. And it's just very, wow. Everything at the end of the day. So if you're out there, you're going through pain, or you're in a season of, you know, process, or you're in a season of making, or you're in a season where God is testing you, and you're like, Lord, don't test me no more. This is the confirmation, or this is exactly what you need.
You know, processes are painful.
Are painful.
But when it's done, the end product is something beautiful,
glorious.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. Oh my God, that's absolutely wow. I love it. Okay, so now the next one is about, it's that verse. I'm not going to ask any question. I'm just going to say the verse. The verse that says, perfect love. Okay, let me read the verse. Mm. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Mm. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. This thing is, perfect love casts out fear. How?
This is deep. This is deep.
Oh my God.
Perfect love casts out fear. Now we need to understand that fear is not something that is from God.
Yes.
It is not from God.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above, you know, coming from the Father of lights. So fear is not perfect, and it is not good. So certainly it is not from God.
Yeah.
So, when you now involve God, when you involve love, there shouldn't be any form of fear. There shouldn't be fear in the sense that you are scared to approach him. No.
Wow, yes.
It gives you that room to know that this is my Father. This is my Father. Take, for example, a father who works... Let's say a father owns a firm, a very large firm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the way the people who work for him would approach him is different, totally different from the way his maybe 6-year-old son or daughter would approach him. Because the daughter knows him as father. While the people who work, you know, with him in the firm know him as boss. So the fear is there, even if it is not fear, that restriction is there for them to approach God. But perfect love, the kind of love that exists between a father and a child, will cast mm-hmm. out any form of fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is why we can. That is fear in the sense of approach to God. He gives you that confidence. Mm-hmm. He says, "We do not have a high priest who does not understand our pain, yeah. who does not, you know what we go through."
Yeah.
Yeah, but it says that we should come with boldness to the throne of grace. Now, boldness in the sense that we know that that God loves us. Yes. Boldness. This boldness is directed towards the devil. No mm-hmm. matter, you know, what he's trying to tell you, the reasons he's trying to give you absolutely. Not to go to God, not to go back to God.
Yes.
You point it to his face. I know what the scripture says. That is that boldness you are going to the cross with.
Mm-hmm.
And the boldness knowing that you have an intercessor there, which is Jesus, mm-hmm. who is everly ready to, you know, talk to God on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And but when you now reach the throne of grace, this is just like diversifying. Yeah. You now fall humble down yourself at the throne in humility.
Yeah.
Yeah, seeking mercy. So mm-hmm. perfect love, you know, gives you that confidence to approach God, approach God, knowing that He is your Father. Now, another way that perfect love casts out fear is mm-hmm. you having the mindset that for the fact that God loves me,
mm-hmm.
who is the devil? For the fact that God loves you, what is harm that it should come to you? For the fact that God loves you, people might be saying things are not going well. But for you, you know that God loves you and you know that He would always come true. So perfect love removes that fear of failure. How does the Bible put it? It says when people are saying that it's the casting down,
yeah,
we'll be saying there's a lifting up. What's our confidence? Our confidence is that God loves us. The Bible says that was Apostle Paul writing to, I believe, Timothy. He mm-hmm. said, "For I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power,
mm-hmm.
of love, and of a sound mind." Now we see love in between power and a sound mind.
Yeah.
So it casts out fear entirely because we do not have the spirit of fear. That is not the spirit God has given us. And in whatsoever way that the devil has imputed that fear in us, maybe through our experiences, maybe through mm-hmm. the wrong kind of knowledge, when perfect love comes, when the love that comes from God, you know, is existent in our lives, it casts out such fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's just the great wow. Like, I'm saying wow for the next leg. I'm just saying wow. But yes, that's so true. So if you're someone that has, I mean, even look at the example of the prodigal son. I think one thing that I really admire, even if the prodigal son took some while before he went back home, he eventually understood or remembered the son of who he was. And, you know, that took away that fear. So he was able to go back home. True. He was able to run back home. So for everyone who feels like, you know, is God going to take me back? Just
I will answer you now. He will.
He will. Yes.
He will.
Like, he's right there waiting for you with arms wide open for you to come back home, and you know, he's just waiting for you.
Yeah. At this point, maybe I should quote my favorite apostle. He says, "I am convinced that nothing." Nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Nothing.
Not even that fear you have. Not anything you have done. If you would go back to God in brokenness, in genuineness of heart, He will pardon.
He will
accept you back always. And He will help you.
Yeah, He will help you.
Yes.
Yes. Nothing can separate. Not even yourself. You cannot separate. You can't separate yourself from the love of God. He loves you, whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. I like that.
Whether you like it or not, He loves you. So lastly, any other additions, anything you want to say, feel led to say?
Love is not complete, or the love of God is not complete, if you don't believe in it,
mm-hmm.
and go back to him.
Yeah.
You know, like I mentioned, you have to know God,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to rely on the love of God. Yes, you have to accept it.
Yeah.
Accept that God loves you.
True.
Accept that he loves you, and now depend on that love.
Mm-hmm.
Depend on that love.
Depend on that
love. I believe love was one of the fuel that, you know, propelled Jesus while he was on earth.
Yeah.
In as much as, you know, he saw the glory ahead of him and held on till the end, love also was what propelled him. We have to understand, mm-hmm. that if it was as little as one person on earth, that Jesus would still have come to die. That is how much God loves you.
Wow.
And this should, you know,
yeah.
Propel you to accept this love. Now you know God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know he loves you. The next step now is believing it and accepting it.
Yeah.
And then now depending on, you know, God's love to lead you, to guide you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So anywhere you are, whatsoever you're going through, this is an encouragement.
Yeah.
For you not to just know that God loves you. You also need to accept it, embrace it, and allow it to work for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't be a hindrance to God working through you.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it says, quench not the spirit.
Mm.
Allow the Holy Spirit to spread this love abroad in your heart, and then in your life, and then from your life, extend it to your environment.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, like he said, believe and accept the love of God. Do not allow fear or those thoughts or whatever it is. I mean, it could be anything that is hindering you from coming back home or from, you know, accepting the love of God. Accept that Jesus loves you. True. Or rather, accept that God loves you. Yeah. Accept that he loves you and he wants you. He actually does want you. You have to come to a point of that realization. Mm-hmm. And if it's something you need to silently pray, or loudly pray, however you pray, but if it's something you need to pray, help me, Lord, to just accept your love, to accept your love and to respond properly to your love. I think that that's something that we all need to pray for, and, you know, each day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a daily prayer and a daily cry. So, we've come to the end of this episode. I'm absolutely sad because I wanted to keep on drawing and listening and just sitting down here. But yes, we've learned a lot from this episode. And I'm sure that you've been blessed. I'm sure that you've been absolutely blessed. So first of all, thank you so, so much, Mr. Michael, for being here.
It's a privilege.
Thank you so much. We really do appreciate. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you for listening up until this point. If you listened up until here, then hats off to you. I know you've learned a lot. I know that you've received something, and I know that you're going to work towards it. Yeah, so see you in the next episode. Do well to follow, subscribe, and, you know, comment, like, share. Most importantly, share. You never know who needs this episode. You never
freely
know.
You have received.
Freely. Yes, freely you have received. Make sure you give freely. And also, I want to say that if you're someone out there and you're, you know, you struggle with accepting the love of God, or you constantly have thoughts or questions in your heart about whether or not God loves you, and it's something that keeps recurring and recurring, please do well to reach out to us on Instagram at Cedars in Lebanon Pod, no spaces, and or the email, which is also on Instagram, and we'll do well to connect you to, you know, whoever you need to speak to or listen to. Yeah. So God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. I love you so much, everyone.
I love you too.
He loves you too. God bless you, and have an amazing rest of your day.